see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Listen, I'm not like the other guys. I can't offer you a nice house and like an easy lifestyle, but I can offer you love. And she's like, what if I could get both from one guy?
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
So last night was arguably the worst episode of The Bachelorette ever. And yes, I am referring to Donald Trump.
I mean, the episode itself, also not great, but it really puts things in context when you see this lackluster episode of The Bachelorette interrupted by someone
who wants to take all your reproductive freedoms
exactly.
away.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh, at least the stakes are pretty low normally. It's just Will's getting sent home. Like, I'm not happy, but
it's not the same level.
Right. It's not going to result in death and mayhem.
Exactly. So. There's just a lot of uplifting things to discuss today. You can tell that we're both in a really positive state of mind right now. And luckily, here with us in studio today to break it all down, you know, beyond the Supreme Court, is our Twitter buddy and E! News editor, Tierney Bricker, who's in New York right now.
So excited to be here. Wish it was for a better episode.
If only we were meeting under better circumstances, but we'll
have always have the conks.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll make about 75 conk jokes, and then, you know, that's all we'll be thinking about.
Yeah, because they're in the Bahamas this week. It's pretty beautiful. They've never been before. None of them
not
have been
one
to the Bahamas.
Of them. Not one of them.
I've never seen so much excitement over that fact. It's not like the most normal. It's not like everyone's been to the Bahamas, but it was. Chris was really acting like, can you believe you haven't been here before? And
can
like,
you believe
no.
this is your first time in the Bahamas?
It was a first time themed episode.
Yeah,
I think
that's true.
Yeah.
That's probably why he was really driving it home. Yeah.
I think she actually really has wanted to go, though, because do you follow her on Instagram? She posted that she was living out her Holiday in the Sun dream, which made me so excited because that is my favorite Mary Kay and Ashley movie.
It's a great
and
one.
It's clearly hers too. So
mine
I could
was Passport
respect
to
her
Paris.
On that level. Oh, that was a good one too.
Yeah. So I can't relate. I really can't.
No, I feel like I'm. Like, It Takes Two and Billboard Dad are still very dear to my heart.
Cool to the max.
Yeah, I mean, it did seem like Chris Harrison felt like there was a huge responsibility for The Bachelorette to be
Chris,
the first ones to take Becca to the Bahamas.
Chris
I mean,
is
you
just
never forget your first time.
Yes. To be able to have a role again.
We're seeing more of Chris this season. I think that that's a sign that they feel that they're losing us. You're throwing a little Chris
well,
at us.
I thought maybe last season we would see more of him because Ari wasn't the best narrator. But I feel like Becca does a pretty solid job of saying how she's feeling, moving the story, quote unquote, along. So I thought maybe last year. But I think by the end last year, they were like, let's just wrap this up.
They were just hoping to speed through it and no one would notice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get into the dates. First one-on-one, she comes in to pick the guys up, or pick the guy up, the special guy. We're down to the final six, and by the end of the week, we're going to be down to four. So there's going to be three one-on-ones and then one three-on-one.
Yeah.
Yes. And she comes and grabs Colton. Did this surprise anyone?
It surprised Blake.
It surprised Blake.
Losing Garrett.
Poor Blake. Blake, poor baby during Blake. This episode, reminded me of, like, in a, you know, a romantic comedy about a single mom and her, like, first grade son is always like, why didn't Dad come to my T-ball game last night? And she's like, oh, Buster, he really loves you. He's just super busy with his new girlfriend and life and family. That's kind of Blake's. And someone, like, I always forget that he is almost 30. Like, he is not as young as I think he is.
Yeah, he's 28, 29.
Yeah.
I think he was 28 during filming. He might be 29 now.
He reminds me of a grown-up, more matured version of Dean, in a way.
I think he is personality, such a Dean.
And his family stuff, which obviously this isn't.
And he's, like, baby-faced from Colorado. I think he has very much Dean appeal, but is a lot more emotionally mature.
Yes. And so I think he's, like, the improved, upgraded version.
But, like, he does seem so young to me. Like, he really reacts in this way when she doesn't pick him for the date, where he's like, she's got to know, like, how hard this is for me. I feel like she knows. Like, why is she doing this?
I know.
Just seems lost.
It was interesting because it was the non-aggro version of what often happens to at least one of the men at this point, where they start to just get very anxious and in their own head and lose their minds. But Blake does what most women do and turn all of that energy internally onto himself rather than acting out against the other guys.
But it is funny to me to watch all the guys at the beginning say, oh, we're all so great. What a great final group. I really want this for any of us at this point because we're all so great. As soon as the date card comes, they're all like, fuckers are on their own. I don't give a shit about any of you anymore.
Well, it reminded me sort of, I recently rewatched some of Caitlyn's season because it's such a good season.
Great season.
And by, like, the final four, everyone starts unraveling. That's where you're really getting down to bare bones of your emotions. And Sean really had a hard time with it, her with anyone
else.
That
is the aggro version I was referring to.
I wonder, though, if it's sometimes those off-camera moments or little things she's giving him that he picks up on, where, like, JoJo told me with Jordan, and he didn't realize it at the time until after the show had finished, she would squeeze his hand 3 times to say, I love you. And he never picked up on it.
Aww.
And so I wonder, sometimes I think that gets in your head too, that you're, or off camera, you know, things that are said to you. And I kind of am picking that up a little bit with Blake, I wonder.
Well, he was the first person that she had, like, a really good one-on-one with, and then seemed to continue to feel really good about. So that often happens to, like, a really early front runner that they feel really confident and then realize the other relationships have caught up to them and freak out. And he does have that front runner sense too, that, like, it seems like he's feels really strongly about her because he's so upset. We got that sense with Sean too, that he's really personally invested. But I don't think that Blake is gonna win. So it's like it's hard to
no,
watch.
But I do think he's making already a great case for next Bachelor.
I think so too.
Maybe so.
Okay, so back to Colton. Let me comment on Will's excellent fashion sense. It's just next level for a bachelorette contestant. He's wearing a leopard romper. Fantastic.
How I couldn't pull that off.
I know.
You have to plan out bathroom breaks when you wear a romper. And you are in, like, a filming schedule in the Bahamas.
I'm going to say this, and it's not fair. Men don't.
Yeah, but, like, even with a romper with a guy, I feel like...
Their buttons, zip down. Listen, it's not fair.
But
and
it
I'm
is
not
easier.
Happy about it, but think for men it's easier.
I love his style and how comfortable he seems. It doesn't seem like it's wearing him. He's wearing it.
Yeah. Exactly. Sorry to sidetrack us. Yeah. We'll get back to Colton and the fact that Colton is a virgin, which we had known from the teasers, but it hasn't come up the whole season.
And we actually learn about it from the guys back in the suite having a little boy chat about it and about whether he's going to have to address it.
I know that the producers certainly sat them all down and were like, you must talk about this now. But it was so weird the way they were talking about his virginity.
Yeah. I mean, Colton is what, like 25?
26.
26. He's apparently been in one serious relationship. But regardless, it really doesn't, it's not anyone's business. It made me really uncomfortable the way they were talking about what a big responsibility it would be to deflower him.
They called it, they said the skeleton in his closet. I think they used that phrase. About his virginity.
It just feeds into all these weird conceptions we have about virginity, as though you are like one person when you are a virgin, and then you cross that boundary, and then you are another person. You are released of something, or you've given up something if you're a woman. Like, it's just on both ends, we have an obsession over someone's status, and it's so counterproductive.
I think a lot of people, what I see on The Bachelor often is this very specific idea of what an acceptable sexual history is, and it's like, you don't start too young. Maybe when you're 18 to 20.
With someone you love.
With someone you love, you do it for the first time. And then you've maybe had a couple sexual partners since then. You're definitely experienced enough to know what you're doing, but not so experienced that it's close. Right? It's very specific. And it's oh no, you missed the boat at 18 to 20. Sorry, too late. You're damaged goods now. It's so, and it's especially bad with Colton, I think, because he's a man. I think that with women, we still get it on the show. With Ashley, she had to defend herself a lot. But
we also do tend to fetishize virginity when it's a woman's virginity, because we still have this outdated conception of women as having to be pure in some sense, and that virginity grants them that, whereas men are less manly, more feminine, haven't asserted their sexuality if they haven't had sex. And I thought Colton handled their conversation really well.
I did too. And you brought up, the men kind of hide the fact that they are. And he said that. I wondered if he did that because he knew he had told his buddies in locker rooms, he had talked about all of his sexual experience. And then he's coming on a reality show saying he's a virgin. And so I think maybe I like that he brought up the, locker room talk. But I thought that was interesting that he addressed it. That he's lied.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to maybe differ from you guys. I don't think he handled this conversation very well. And it actually made me more uncomfortable than the fact that he is a virgin. I thought that it was unsettling that he revealed that he lied a bunch about it in a locker room setting, and that I guess made up elaborate stories about his sexual exploits. That made me really uncomfortable. And also, Becca was asking him questions that he just wasn't answering, to the point that it was really unclear to me why he was even telling her.
Why he thought it was relevant.
Right. Was he saying, this is important to me and I want to, not have sex and I want to save that for a later point? Or was he saying, this is a fact about me, I'm not experienced, but it's... I'm ready and my heart is open. What?
That was the sense that I got. To me, how I sort of...
I was left totally confused.
How I read the situation was that a producer had really worked him up to being this is a thing about you. You need to share this with her. You can't go to hometowns and not have, said this thing. And so he sort of word vomited about it. And I do understand why... He would say, I was ashamed of this, and therefore I did make up these stories. I don't think it's great, but it also seems completely realistic in sort of a hyper-masculine setting that you would feel this pressure to the point that as, a 20, 21-year-old, 23-year-old guy, you would sort of try to fit in really hard.
I mean—
I'm not saying
I'm just saying he
good.
Literally was it was just locker room talk. And I have I have a bit of a reaction to that now. I don't think that I would necessarily want to be with a guy who's in the locker room, I say all kinds of shit
about
women.
No, I mean, I agree. I don't think it's great. But I do think, I don't know, I think perhaps it was honest, and that gives Becca the opportunity to decide whether that's something that rubs her the wrong way or not.
But not
sexually.
He used football also as an excuse for why he felt he wasn't as, sexually active, I guess you could say. He said, I focused too much on football, Colton. And I wasn't on...
Forgot about personal Colton.
Two totally different people.
Very different people.
Personal Colton and football Colton.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. That's how he decided to... And he said his dad. He didn't think his dad knew. Which that must get in your head, too, that you're about to voice this on national TV. And important people in your life don't know this about you.
I just feel maybe we don't need to have these conversations on national television at all. Like, I don't because think it's we not need to. Something that is, like, that's the ultimate way I walked away from this whole thing feeling is like, what does this say about him? Fucking nothing.
Right. I mean, I thought it was very weird that he said the thing about his dad because, I mean, at what point do you say,
Hey, Dad,
I'm 23, haven't had sex yet, just you so think? You know, in case it comes up on TV or something. Like that's not a thing that you tell
or
your
like,
dad.
Or like, hey, Dad, I just had sex. Like, yeah. You probably.
Fist bump.
I mean, maybe you have that kind of relationship with your father.
I have to say, I don't have that relationship with my father, so that was confusing to me. But, I mean, it was odd to me, I guess, the way that he presented it was that he brought it up like it was this very serious potential roadblock to their entire relationship and then kind of hemmed and hawed about every aspect of it to the point like she was like, wait, so like what really is going on here? Because you had this girlfriend that you say you loved mm-hmm. and he was sort of like, oh, yeah, it was hard.
Difficult.
And I was like, what was hard? Was it hard that she wanted to have sex and you didn't? Was it hard that, like, she didn't and you did? Was it hard that, like, you guys couldn't get there? Was it hard
we didn't get
to
a lot
tell
of clarity.
People? Like, yeah.
My only thought about that was that if he was referring to Ali Raisman, given how public a figure she is and given everything, all the trauma she's been through, perhaps there were things that involved right. their sex life that he yeah. didn't want to get into at all.
I just felt like it shouldn't, like, don't bring it up.
Yeah.
Because now there's a lot of, now there, it's like, well, why is it a roadblock? Is it because you don't feel like you're ready to have sex with me and you know that I want that? Like, there wasn't that much.
Because he also explicitly
about how
made
it
clear, like, I'm not saving myself yeah. for marriage. I'm waiting for the right person,
but he didn't say,
the
like,
right
you're the yeah. right person.
And it's not like it's the fantasy suite date now. They still have hometowns before fantasy suite, where right. I think if any date was going to bring up those concerns or that conversation, it would be
when they were actually in a position to potentially yeah. sleep together.
But the editors did her dirty.
Yes, the bathroom thing.
And I've heard people say, you know, they'll be like, we need to check your mic. It's not working. And so it looks like you're mad getting up and you're leaving a table. And it's like he says this and she's, I need a moment, and walks away. I was like.
And the way they cut it, like she walks out onto the balcony and it's still light out. And then we see her again before she goes back inside and it's pitch black. And I was like, okay, so they're making it look like she abruptly got up right after this conversation and went outside for like 3 hours. And meanwhile, he's just sitting there fidgeting with his cuffs and being like, I don't know. I hope I'm not getting dumped for being a virgin.
Yeah, she tweeted about it, something like, I'm pretty sure I just got up to go to the bathroom. And Colton responded. It was like, yeah, can confirm that's what happened. Took Oof. Zero offense.
Oh, my God. It was just such a weird.
So Becca took a bathroom break, not a, like, I have to consider whether your virginity is all right with me break.
I just want to, like, really clearly say, like, I think this feeds into really negative, like, shameful feelings for people who are watching the show. And, mm-hmm. like, I felt that way. Like, I'm, you know, I was, as I've said before, a little older and, like, had that feeling before I had sex for the first time that, like, it was too late for me, that guys were going to be weirded out by it. They're going to feel like it was a huge responsibility to deal with. And that really psychs you out. It makes you feel like there's something wrong with you. And I think it's even really bad for women, even though there is a faction of society that still fetishizes purity among women. There's also the counter side is like, no, actually, experience is good and you should be really experienced because guys don't want to sleep with someone who doesn't know mm-hmm. what they're doing. And it's like there's no right way to be. And everyone just feels ashamed. And it was like it was hard to think about people who were in their 20s and 30s or even older who haven't had sex yet watching this and feeling like, oh, this is a huge deal. This is something that I have to disclose to people because it's like a flaw that I have. And I don't think – just like don't feel that way. It's bullshit. And I think a lot of people won't actually care as much as the dudes seem to think.
Yeah.
Even Becca didn't care that much. And that's what the whole buildup was about. So –
also, the men were questioning, like, you know, can she have physical chemistry with him?
Yes.
Like, there are a lot of really fun components to a sexual relationship with someone that don't involve penetrative sex.
Right.
Let's be really clear about that,
also,
first of all.
Also, it's like, you don't need to have sex to have physical chemistry.
Yeah, right. No, it's ridiculous.
It's not like you meet a guy and you're like, well, I don't feel any physical chemistry for him, but that's because we haven't had sex yet. Like, no, it's the opposite way is how
– And I agree that to some people, sex and sexual chemistry within like that particular act is important. And that's a conversation you can have. And that's something you can explore with someone in a relationship or in a context where you're not in a relationship and you want to sleep with someone. But that doesn't mean that we have to put these intense definitions onto people based on their previous sexual experience. Because mostly, you know, so often our previous sexual experiences don't speak to how our chemistry might be or how great sex might be with someone new. And I just think we do everyone a disservice when we put value, positive or negative, on any identity.
Right.
Like that.
Let's treat it like a value neutral thing.
Exactly.
Going forward.
Ashley, I mean, she said it became her identity on the show. Mm-hmm. And people said, you don't act like a virgin because of the way she would kiss Chris. And I think that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Do not act like a virgin.
If people could have seen the way I used to behave. Like, no one like a lot of people are not having sex, and maybe you assume they are because you think virgins all go around in like high necked collars and like kiss people on the cheek.
I mean, I wore a
really
V on
date.
My shirt until, you know, everyone knew Brandon.
And then he rips it off.
Yeah, he's like, I got it.
And we get a really fun run-up to all of this because their day date is hanging out on a boat.
Half naked, making conch jokes.
Yeah.
And eating a piece of the conch that is an aphrodisiac, apparently.
The sight of the pistol of the conch you pull out, and that's supposed to be the aphrodisiac, it gave me the shudders.
It looked really gross.
Okay, would you have done it?
What?
Would you have tried it?
Yes.
I would have
probably,
yeah, under pressure. Yeah, in that situation, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I wasn't being filmed, perhaps not.
Or I might come up with something like, oh, no, I'm a vegan. I just decided last night, and, like, I can't do
it. I just decided right now in this moment I have a moral opposition.
I'm willing to never eat meat or dairy again in order to not have to eat this. I loved as they were hanging out on the boat, there's some sample dialogue. Her, you're so handsome. Him, you're beautiful. They basically exchange no
deep intellectual
during
connection.
This date other than how attractive they find each other and that he's a virgin.
Or it's usually, I'm having such a great time.
Yep.
Are you having a great time? And then on the nighttime date, wasn't today so fun? I had so much fun.
Really, Becca is just like, let's fill the dialogue so that we can get to the point where I can just make out with your face again because she is so attracted to him.
He's a Ken doll.
I really
looks
think
like a Ken doll.
He does. And I really think that the guys were talking so much about how maybe they can't have physical chemistry because it's so obvious that she has nothing but physical chemistry with him. And they're like, no, that's not even a thing because he doesn't have sex. So, like, what do they even have? Okay, so are we all set with Colton?
I think we're set with Colton. We've had a long, winding conversation.
Yeah.
He got the rose.
Yes. And you know how we feel. All right, moving on. Garrett gets the next date card.
Love is in the air.
Blake blanches. Feels like he's been slapped in the face.
At this point, they are just dragging out Blake's one-on-one as long as possible in the hopes that he will break completely.
He's very resilient. He, like, bends really far over but never quite breaks. You only get one Chris R a season. She meets Garrett on a beach, and they're picked up by a seaplane.
They're first.
Did anyone notice what the seaplane was called?
No.
I didn't either, but apparently it was called the Tia.
Seriously?
And they didn't put Colton on this date?
They were like, the seaplane named Tia or Conch.
Or Conch.
What should we do?
No, I think they made the right decision.
Yeah. I want to say this was a real contrast to her plane time, helicopter time with Leo, in which they were not touching, looking opposite directions. And this, they are just making out, holding hands, like giggling on top of each other.
Yeah.
It's obvious who she's into is all I'm saying.
Yes.
And she keeps saying, like, he's so fun. He has such, like, a sexy, fun vibe and sexy and fun, sexy. I'm like, okay. I don't actually think Garrett is that sexy. But the important thing is that Becca feels that way.
My sister hasn't watched all season, doesn't know anything. She knew a little bit about the Lincoln drama, and she said she found Garrett most attractive.
Really?
From the lineup of guys. Yeah. And then Blake. But she, and I guess it's obviously like a personal preference too.
Right.
But yeah, she was like, I think Garrett's the most attractive. And then I kind of, you know, filled her in. Because like, oh, man. Because it's colored everyone I know's viewing experience.
Well, but the thing is, it's definitely colored it. I feel like I still can look at Colton and be like, he's really attractive, even though I have a very low opinion of him. I just really genuinely don't think Garrett is handsome. And
I think he's kind of – I think if you remove everything about him,
but
he's kind
of
cute.
But the most handsome one there?
No. That would be Blake.
Yeah, definitely.
I would say Blake.
I think that also – but this is a different piece of context. Garrett's attractiveness was ruined for me when he did the Chris Farley impression.
Yeah, that
and now
was
when I
not
see
good.
Him, all I can see is the Chris Farley impression.
It was not a good entrance.
No. I mean, there's like sexy fun humor and then there's like –
humor that isn't
Farley
sexy at all.
I mean, he's dad jokes. You know that's Garrett. It's all dad jokes, bro jokes.
Yeah.
That seems to be his
jokes
vibe.
About immigrants.
Bigot jokes.
You know, yeah. You all know, the just all those. Yeah. Just the whole range.
So basically, we just see them swinging on a tire swing, making out. And he tells her that he's had a hard week. It was awkward when Colton came back and no one wanted to hear about his date. They're all starting to feel tense. But, like, he tries to be understanding and think positive.
He's such a positive guy. He never even really gets down.
He can count the number of times he's gotten really down on one hand in his
I don't
entire
trust that.
Life.
That was the biggest red flag I've heard all season.
That's
right?
Weird.
That
like,
was
that
weird
scared
that you
me.
Think that's
he's been
a
divorced.
Quality that you're like, yes, this is something that she's going to love about me. I should lead with this. You have said you've been, like, emotionally abused by your wife. And you're like, five times in
gone
my life.
Gone through a divorce maximum five times. He made it sound like it was less than five. Like, I guess I could count it on one hand, like, if I needed to count it at all.
Maybe they were having – it was part of a bigger conversation where she was, like, compared to losing her dad and going through that. That's, like – that's the only way I can justify what you consider down enough to be like,
I don't understand.
Like, she was like, I like your positivity.
Yes.
And he's like, well, life is short. I don't like to get really down about things. And she's like, well, I don't know. It's a side I haven't seen of you. And she makes it sound like she'd like to see that side of him.
To know he's not a sociopath and is in fact a complete human being.
And that's when he says, like, I can count the times I've been really down and discouraged on one hand. And I was like, wow, isn't it really fucking great to be a white guy in America? Can't imagine what that feels like.
It seems nice, Garrett.
Yeah, everything is through the lens of those Instagrams now.
Well, maybe sorry, that will y'all. Take him to the second hand, you know, having to go through that experience.
Right.
Yeah, that's number six.
Maybe he's like, this is number six.
So they go to the dinner date, riding this high of his positivity, and she asks if he has dated since his marriage. And he says, just dates, but if anything reminded him of, like, his marriage, he would just cut
it off.
How
long ago was he divorced? Not that many years ago, right?
I want to say two.
Yeah, so it's not that – it's not weird that he hasn't
it's not that
you know,
long.
Been in relationships since.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's really not.
And he was with her 3 years.
Yeah.
And then engaged, I think he said, for one?
A year and a half, and then married for
– and he's 29 now, so yeah.
– So that was his whole 20s.
Most of his 20s, he was with this woman or disentangling himself from this woman.
And she asked what he was attracted to about his ex other than adventurousness. And I think it's weird that he keeps saying how adventurous he is and how much he loves adventure because his other main thing is I
want
to be a dad and have a minivan. Not really seeing how those are going. Okay. And he says, well, basically, I just really wanted to get married and start a family. So he just was like, this'll do. She'll do.
I think it's I speak about because I left my hometown. Like after college, I went right to LA. A lot of my friends back home settled down immediately. And I think when you're in a relationship like that, you're thinking, what's the next step? You can't just be, you know, dating and happy. Everyone's asking, when are you guys getting married? And I think you tell yourself, well, the obvious next step is we get married and start having kids. Like, that's what you do.
That's just what you do.
And I think maybe that's what he was speaking to.
Yeah.
And you have this idea in your head, like, marriage is going to be so fun, and we're going to just start having kids right away. and you rush it and you're not ready, you're not mature enough. I mean, you can get married young and it works, but I think
that— Or one or both of you doesn't actually want to get married.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like she didn't really—
Yeah.
Necessary. Or, but like, that's the other thing. We're only hearing about this marriage, obviously, from Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, that's, yeah, it's always the danger when we hear about anyone's relation, past relationships. Of course, it's, we get this person's version of the trauma they went through. I mean, that is with any of these kind of stories. So,
right.
I always wonder, feel that it must be particularly hard to be, you know, the immediate family members or exes of these people, because they do go on, and if they get to a certain point, end up airing a lot of that trauma to, in vague terms, to a mm-hmm. national public who can then sort of find out who you are. And I assume his ex-wife is getting a lot of online harassment.
It's been nice opening my inbox, though, every day and not seeing an alert from InTouch. That it's like Garrett's ex-wife speaks. Ugh. And because, I mean, you gotta live for those. But it seems like she is very much okay with not being part of this narrative.
I would not be part of this narrative.
No. Exclude me.
Especially because some of the words he's using to describe her. What did he say in this one? She's hot-headed. And like yelled at him a lot.
Hot-blooded. Always yelled a lot from the beginning. But do you guys think that it's concerning that he puts sort of all the blame for the marriage not working on his wife? And when Becca asks, like, what he learned, he says things like, oh, like, to find someone better next time.
It seems like he didn't do a lot of evaluating and looking inward.
Perhaps therapy might have been maybe he is in therapy, but I think everyone should be in therapy.
Like, it seems like the only lesson he learned, and maybe like there's no way for us to know, maybe she was really abusive and he like was not at all at fault, and that's the only lesson he could have taken away. It's impossible for us to know, but in that case, it's like really hard for me to imagine why going on a TV show and picking a wife in like 2 months seems like the great next step to make sure you don't mess that up again. Because like anger issues or something, you could probably hide pretty well when you're the lead of the show. Not saying that Becca has anger issues, but how would he know? How would he know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And then they talk about how much they love kissing each other. And he says he's beginning to fall in love with her. And she says, you just made my night.
She's so into him. I just really do appreciate that Becca is a female lead who is so into making out.
Yeah.
Just has no shame about it. I respect that.
I mean, this is going to be maybe her last chance to make out with a different dude every night. And I think she should
go for it.
Embrace it.
Yeah.
So that the date ends with them going night swimming in the ocean.
Right.
Making
she
out some more.
Gives him the rose because she wants to meet his family and find out why he's this stand-up man. There's also a line earlier in the date that really stood out to me where she says something like, I just want to make sure that we're really aligned in every way, or something along those lines. And I was just like, I don't think you are.
Yeah. When she was like, I want to find out the family behind this stand-up man. I was like, yeah, I want to find out about the family
like,
behind
same,
this man,
same.
Too.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll whittle it down to the hometown four. If you, like the two of us, are just always desperate to bring more coziness into your life, may we suggest Barefoot Dreams, especially now because the brand is celebrating their 30th anniversary.
With those 30 years of coziness, Barefoot Dreams celebrates being the originators of everyone's favorite luxe home blanket.
I mean, there's a reason why Barefoot Dreams has been on Oprah's favorite things list 6 times.
If there's anything I trust more than Oprah's favorite things list, it's 6 of Oprah's favorite things list. I mean, come on. Dressing head to toe in Barefoot Dreams is the key to comfort, as their collection of ultra soft robes, loungewear, and accessories are made with premium materials.
And their products make perfect gifts, too.
I'm a huge fan of just swaddling myself in a big cozy robe. So I know, Emma, I'm very excited for the Barefoot Dreams robe that is heading my way right now. I was so excited to pick it out, and I'm so excited to try it on. Like, the perfect cozy robe.
I'm so excited, too.
Oh, my God. It's going to change my life, I think.
We'll just be swaddling ourselves in coziness 100% of the time. And I think we can all agree that, like, that is the lifestyle which we deserve and to which we aspire. Thank you, Barefoot Dreams.
For Love to See It with Emma and Claire listeners, you can get 15% off your first purchase at barefootdreams.com with the code LTSI15.
Don't miss out on Barefoot Dreams' soft, soothing fabrics that will bring luxury to your life. Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck. Article. Our big console. Article. My bed frame. Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it's, I mean, it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
So, meanwhile, Blake has gotten the last date card.
Thank goodness, because or else
would he would have jumped off that boat on the 3-on-1.
Oh, Blake.
They were like, Jason, you can. Jason, Will, cool and Leo, you can all handle fine. It.
He is along for the ride. Jason is how every contestant should be.
Well, but I think Jason is very much just like, marrying Becca would be great. Mm-hmm. Or like, if not, marrying someone else will be great.
This was a great experience either way.
The date card says, Blake, you make my heart skip a beat. And you know what that means.
Who let the dogs out?
It means the Baja Men are playing their brand new song. I know you've all been waiting for this single to drop. It's called Bump Bump, and it's about bump bumping.
It doesn't have the same, you know, catchy ring to it as Who Let the Dogs Out.
I mean, they're a classic one-hit wonder. I mean, do we know of any other? No one was waiting for their follow-up. They are a fun concert band. Like, they have that dancey vibe, and they're playing on the beach, and Blake and Becca are bumping and grinding a little.
I love Blake here.
Very cute little dance moves.
I love that he was just so into it, was so excited to be there with her.
So happy.
I mean, his moves were pretty good.
I was charmed by him.
He could move his hips. I was kind of impressed for a white dude.
Like, spinning her around. Not bad. I think she was a little surprised and, like, taken aback.
Yeah.
How into it.
Well, she had no idea. He had all this pent-up feeling that he suddenly redirected
so
it to being
thrilled
cheerful
to be able to get out of the hotel.
He was like, I had all this despair and anxiety, and now I can just release it all in this beautiful bump and grind on the beach.
It felt a little bit like when Eric got his late one-on-one with Rachel, and he was just, like, so full of joy.
No, that doesn't bode well. Like, I think, too, like, if you're just so excited and relieved to finally get that date— then it's hard almost, like, be in the date. Like, I feel like he's just bursting with, like, I did it! I'm here! I got the date! Like, it's me on the date! It's me! Like, it was hard for me to not think when I was looking at him. He's really in his head just thinking about how glad he is he got this date. Which is not the same as, like, focusing on the experience of it.
And I do think he is one of those contestants that is very aware of the process and knows the certain tentpole events. I just get that vibe from him that he's very tuned into almost the production of it. And not in a bad way, necessarily.
Just
it's just
keeping
like
tabs.
Someone who had an awareness of the show before and kind of went into it expecting certain things.
Yeah. I mean, so he's got to know that he's a front runner, but I don't know. I'm not feeling good for Blake at this point.
And they have a conversation where he's like, you know, I was getting in my head, and she says she could tell. But instead of overly reassuring him, she says that she can now empathize with Ari because she has strong feelings for multiple people. And Blake's face just falls. Poor little baby face Blake.
Don't you love, though, that each season these contestants sign up for this show knowing the premise? It's like when people go on Project Runway and they get the menswear challenge and they're like, I didn't know this was coming. I don't do menswear. Every season they make you do menswear. You signed up to a show knowing she's going to date other people. And it's every time they fall for it.
I just think that in that environment, as prepared as you could be, and which is why I know I would do horribly on a show like this.
Yeah.
Like, they just get in your fucking head. And yeah, you yeah. Have now, they've now been there, what, 6 weeks? And Seven weeks.
I think probably also a lot of people go in being like, maybe I'll get to travel. Maybe I'll get Instagram mm-hmm. followers. But are like, the chances that
I'll actually be into this person yeah,
are like, what, like maybe 3 out of 28, which is not that high. Chances are I'm not going to really be into this person. Chances are they're not going to be into me. And so I think a lot of them are kind of taken aback when they feel things really strongly.
You're right.
But sorry, that's the whole plan.
Right, it is what it is. So now you're on national TV having a fucking meltdown.
Yeah. This is really like one of the downsides of being really attractive. Like, people like me do not just accidentally end up falling in love on TV and grappling with it. Like, no one is trying to like finagle me onto The Bachelor, and it's great. My love life gets to be totally private, except for all of the parts I share on this podcast
with our loyal audience.
Yeah. So at the night date, they talk about his parents' divorce because she wants to know how that affected him. And it turns out to be a really brutal story.
Oh, God.
Like, maybe the worst divorce mm-hmm. story I've ever heard on this show, for sure. And he basically says, I have a hard time opening up and sharing how I feel because my family was really repressed. His parents got divorced when he was in high school, and because his mom had an affair with his basketball coach and English teacher.
And it's a small town, so he found out details of it from other acquaintances.
Including the fact that his mom was moving out of their family home. This like, he did not find that out from his mom.
Very similar situation to one of my closest friends in high school.
Oh, God.
Like, we were a small town. Her dad was a lacrosse coach. They were, like, best family friends with another family, and it all came out. Everyone found out in school. They would go on family trips together. It was devastating, and the impact it had, like, on my friend and all of the kids involved. It was so sad to see, and everyone's talking about it. You can't get away from it. And hearing him talk about that, I was like, I can't even imagine for him. Like, when he said the thing about his mom moving out, finding that out, basically, like, in the hallways of your high school.
It's horrific.
Ugh. But now, what is that hometown date going to be like?
Well, it looks like he has a pretty good relationship with both of his parents now. I mean, it's been almost 15 years since this happened.
Yeah.
Just from, like, a little bit of light Instagram stalking, there's photos of him and his mom, him and his dad.
Nice.
His mom seems to be remarried. Maybe it's to that man. I don't know.
He did say they fell in love.
Yeah.
So it seems like it was.
Right.
Yeah.
So it seems like they are coexisting now.
Yeah. And we've had divorced hometowns before where they went to two different places.
Vanessa's was, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Two different.
And we've even had hometowns where
The parents were divorced, and
we've also had ones where they were divorced and the child only gets along with one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So, like, all things considered, this might not be the most dramatic actual hometown date that we've had, but
it's
the backstory is awful. And it really is amazing. Like, he's saying, well, this gave me all these issues opening up, and I think Becca's really accurate and being like, it doesn't seem like you have issues opening up. Like, I would never have
guessed.
He's
the most articulate about his feelings of probably any of the men.
And very quick to share that. And this happened, obviously, the divorce before the incident with his girlfriend that he said, I love you to.
I almost forgot about that.
Yeah. Right. So it kind of seems like he's got this fear of a relationship, but also just desperately wants that stability of finding and is conflicted. And obviously it hasn't worked out for him very well in the past. Like, that's a really rough way for it to go because she just dumped him, like, right away, basically, after he said, I love you.
Did he say, like, he thinks that's kind of his issue in relationships, is that he rushes into them too quickly? I can't remember how
he... what he said about the ex, except for the fact that he saw in a text that she was going to break up with him.
Oh, which, now that you know about his parents and finding out from his classmates, that's, like, exceptionally awful. No, it seems to me like he has, like, both instincts and they're kind of at war, and that makes a lot of sense, given what he's been through. But he's like, well, it's easy for me to open up to you because falling in love with you is fun. But staying in love could be even more fun.
Guys. And he says, I'm in love with you. And she says, you're going to make my heart burst or something like that.
He is just too cute.
I know. I fully have a crush on Blake.
I believe everything that comes out of his mouth. And when he said the staying in love thing, I was like, that's something a woman actually wants to hear.
Yeah.
You always hear on this show, I'm beginning to fall in love with you. I think I'm falling in love with you. But to have someone say, I want to stay in love with you.
Right.
I think that was really sweet.
Yeah. And like that he wants that permanence. Yeah. She says basically like, I have these really strong feelings for him. I want to tell him that I'm in love and it's hard to hold back.
There was some editing in there and I couldn't quite tell if they had spliced something she was saying later about someone else. I wasn't sure. But there was
we have our suspicions.
There was a distinct tonal change and you could tell that the sentence had been spliced together. So just want to flag that.
Mm. Yeah.
But yes, she's very into him.
And then it's the 3-on-1. The date card says, Wills, Jason, and Leo, these days are never easy, which isn't a pun. It's just a fact.
It's like, brace yourself.
Just like, we all know this has to be done. Like, layoffs at the company.
I just cannot believe Leo is still there.
I know
that's, like,
he doesn't enjoy make it far him. Into the day.
I know. I really enjoy him.
I really like him.
It's every season,
Leo
I guess,
doesn't
just
know
someone.
Why he's there.
I know.
Which he continuously says.
So they start out the date playing beach volleyball. And then she sits down first with Wills, and he tells her that he had a hard week. This is the theme of the week.
She's like, yes, I heard you're all having a hard time.
And he's like, I want you to meet my parents. They will be celebrating their 50th anniversary next year. I just want to say, again, that means they were married for like 20 years before they had before they had Wills. Like, he's not 50. No. He's like 30.
Yes, he's 29.
Yeah. I wish there was a 50-year-old contestant. That's amazing. I know. Oh, my gosh.
I kept being like, oh, yeah, 50 years. That's cute. And then I was like, wait.
That's crazy.
I mean, I want to know,
too. Does he have siblings?
Right. I want to know whether he's, like, at the end of a big family or whether his parents, like, waited for a while. Like, I kind of want to know, like, what the family story is. But we're never going to find out now.
So. We should have known as soon as he said that.
Yeah. Because now, once I was curious, it was all over.
Yep.
Then she talks with Jason. He was like, it hasn't been an easy week.
She's like, I know. Again, I know. She's like, remember when I got brutally dumped on national television? Handle yourselves, man. Just kidding. She's very empathetic.
And I think sometimes she does feel a little impatience with their stress because she was like, I also did this and then a worse thing happened. So like, spare me the details. And Jason tries to be positive. He's like, I think we have a lot of similarities in values and also making out. And I see happiness together. Pretty vague.
Yeah.
They are just people, I think, whose profiles match on paper pretty well. They want the same things. They have similar, like, lifestyles and friends, and they would mesh. And they're like, cool, we also are attracted to each other.
I think if they met in the real world under normal circumstances, that would be a guy she would hit it off with.
Yeah.
But I think in this setting, I don't know if he's the right personality type to be the one at the end of something like this. But you know what I mean? Like, he seems like a solid, genuine dude. That if you met him out at a bar, you'd be like, I enjoy his company.
Yeah.
And this entire season, I think he's been...
Or if their friends set them up.
Yeah. And he's been a delight this season. Yeah. They always cut away to him, like, just enjoying watching the guys go at it. Yeah. Their date was great when he started crying when he saw his friends.
He just doesn't have the intensity. And I think when you're the Bachelorette, you want to feel a guy's intensity for you before you have him propose.
Especially because she's so scared that those feelings aren't real or that these men will, men will express feelings that they're forcing in some capacity.
Right. Like she says with Garrett, she's afraid that he just wants to be married so much that he will pretend a relationship is working again, like he did before and got married. And she's, he was like, nah, I won't do that.
But he's had that minivan for years. He's been waiting.
And then she sits down with Leo, and this is where the day takes a dark turn. And he's basically like, listen, I'm not like the other guys. I can't offer you a nice house and like an easy lifestyle, but I can offer you love. And she's like, what if I could get both from one guy? That seems better.
Also, they very clearly don't love each other.
I mean,
they just like have a solid friendship. They enjoy their time together.
Yeah.
They're vaguely attracted to each other.
He's like maybe a contestant that would be invited to the wedding because the other guy would be like, yeah, it's Leo. Who cares? Like, you know,
I'm not threatened by him.
Yeah. Like, you just be like, yeah, he's cool.
I also like when you see cutaway to Wills and Jason and they're like, can you predict Leo? Nah, man. Like,
yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
The three of them seem quite close.
So. Yeah, it is funny watching them, like, gossip about the other guy when they walk away. And then they come back and sit down, and it's like, oh, now we're going to gossip about
that
guy.
It's my favorite.
Also, I want to note that she has this really, like, pivotal conversation with Leo right next to the water. And the waves are so loud. I could barely hear. I was glad I had the closed captions turned on. I could barely hear anything. Just an amateur production fail by The Bachelorette. I was surprised. And they talk about how serious it is to, like, bring a person home. And he says, well, I would need more time maybe than the other guys to be ready to propose. Like, I can't say that I'm ready for that right now. But hometowns would really help with that. Yeah. And she's like, all right, I've heard all I need to hear.
She's like, you're no Peter. Sorry.
Yeah. I think she's just like, she needed a reason to send someone home. And that
this
was a really
good
convenient.
One. Yeah, it's an easy one. Like, oh, you're not there yet with me. I'm not there yet with you. I am there with other people.
Yeah.
Let's not do this.
Like, if he'd said, I'm in love with you, she would have been like, oh, God.
Crap.
Like, when, with Will, I feel like she was like, thanks, but now it's going to look really bad when I pick Jason over you.
He gave her the easy out.
Yeah, yes. Leo definitely did.
And I think he knew he was. He knew he was going home in some capacity.
What if he was just, like,
week?
Devastated on that beach, like cupcake style, you know?
I think he was just like, I'm just going to kick around in the waves until they send a car to come get me.
Yeah. Wills is the first person I think see being really devastated by a breakup.
Right, devastated by the breakup, not devastated by the fact he has to leave the television show.
Yes.
Right. poor Wills.
I love him.
Yeah. So they actually go to the night date just as a two-on-one. And she sits down with Jason and basically tries to get him to tell her that he's falling in love.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. He resists. She's like, the other guys, just throwing this out there, they've been saying some stuff that, like, is pretty nice to hear, and you're not, so maybe you want to catch up to them.
I thought he was Peter-like in this exchange, where he was very vocal about his strong feelings, but he refused to kind of step into that bachelorette lingo in order to reassure her to a point that wouldn't be authentic to how he was actually feeling.
I liked it.
I liked it too.
Because isn't that her biggest concern? That people are just feeding her lines and telling her what they think she wants to hear? So to have someone not get wrapped up in this experience and taking a step back to see how he really feels before saying something that could potentially hurt her if it doesn't turn out to be true. I liked the way he handled that. He didn't, like, take the bait, sort of.
No. I mean, I think that this show really encapsulates part of the psychological game of dating, which is that you say you want total honesty, and what you want is to not be lied to in a really obvious way. Yeah, like, she doesn't want John Blanc to tell her, you know, on, like, week three, after no one-on-one date, that he is, like, in love with her and ready to get married, because, like, that makes a mockery of her. It makes her feel dumb. Like, and it's not something that she can feel good about. With someone like Jason, where they've had this time together, it's later in the relationship, she's like, please just say it. It would make me feel good to hear. And it wouldn't make her feel ridiculous. It seems like the right time. It's a lie that she could convince herself of. And I think that a lot of us actually feel that way in relationships where we're like, please be honest, but you also want your partner or someone you're dating to tell you the things that reassure you, even if they don't say them organically. Like, it's the push-pull of, like, you want them to be truthful, but only insofar as it makes you feel good about what they're saying.
And in this experience, the bachelor, bachelorette is asking for that when they know likely they can't return it.
Right.
So you're asking for something that you can't. And that's a lot. I get, again, they sign up for that, but it is a lot to put yourself out there emotionally. And with Peter and Rachel, I always had the issue that she said she always knew it was Brian.
Right.
I'm like, well, then why were you trying so hard to get Peter to say he was going to get down on one knee if you knew? So it's kind of that weird.
It sets up, it sets up an impossible situation where a few people are going to just have their feelings totally trampled on at some point.
Yeah. And I think that she, in part, wanted Jason to say something more so that she could have an equal seeming choice.
I think she knew she was going to pick Jason going into the date.
Because then she ends up saying something like, how do I choose? I have one guy I feel really strongly for, and he said I love you. And I have another guy I also feel really strongly for who hasn't said I love you. And it's like, when you put it like that, it really seems like she should choose Will's. So, she doesn't want to have the setup in a way where she is making the illogical choice. But she does. And I think in certain ways it was the right decision to let Will's go earlier if she was sure. But the way that the whole thing played out did not break in her favor, and it ended up making her look like she was maybe trampling on their feelings and autonomy a little bit by kind of Will says I love you, and she's like, whatever. Jason, she tries to get to say it, and he doesn't. Like, it just didn't play out the way she hoped.
No. It did not.
Poor Wills.
But I think she.
He gives her this whole speech about like,
oh, he was so
you make
sweet.
Me believe in love again and I'm being
and
a
hope,
great man.
And greatness and beauty and everything, all the things.
And he feels like she loves him in some way after the night. And she gives the rose to Jason and walks him out. And he just doesn't respond at all. They have the goodbye conversation where she's just like,
you're amazing. You're deserving of love.
You're going to find your person.
And then he even says in the limo, like, the worst thing she said to me was, you're going to find your person because that means she's not my person.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I felt real feelings during this exit, though. It's like,
anyone ever asked to stop the car and get out?
I feel like they have,
probably.
But usually it's so they can go back. Like, I thought he was going to be like, I'm going
too.
Back.
Instead, he's like, I just need a little bit of fresh air and not a camera in my direct face while I'm weeping.
Yeah.
It was heart-wrenching. Also, he is, sadly, one of the black male contestants to make it the farthest. I mean, I guess black contestants at all to make it past week. Very few have made it past week 5. Obviously, Eric made it to top 3, but I think Wills is the only other one to make it past week 5, which
almost
speaks
got a
so sadly.
And met his amazing.
But he would.
I would like to meet
parents.
His family.
He's going to be on Paradise. They tweeted it last night.
Yes. Like, I just Wills was pulling this up. Wills is going to Paradise. I hope he finds love. I hope every woman wants to go out with him.
I've been hearing a Wills for Bachelor campaign. What do you guys think?
I think it depends how he does on Paradise.
Yeah.
I think the problem is that there are guys that they could make a really easy case for that will go farther. And it's just easier to cast someone if people like one of the top 3.
Yeah.
But I think Wills would do pretty well.
Yeah, I kind of wonder because he is so soft-spoken.
That would be my only concern is that he wouldn't be as responsive.
Drama this whole season too. He doesn't really engage. I mean, I still live for the sup baby that he said to Chris.
That was amazing.
That was so good. But I think I don't know if he would engage in the bullshit and producers
sort of
wanting maybe to do certain things just for the sake of a TV production. And for Paradise, I'm almost a little worried that women, because his season aired as they were filming, a lot of them didn't get to see just how great he is. They only got to see the first two episodes of, you know, Becca's season.
Right. But maybe he'll be like, they'll all think he's a sleeper hit. Yes. And they'll be like, no one else is going to go for Wills. This is just my dream.
I mean, just look at those beautiful eyes.
Because, like, Wills is someone that I always watch, and I'm like, that's someone that I would like to date in real life.
Yes.
Partly because he seems very chill and...
But has a sense of humor.
But has a sense of humor.
Loves Harry Potter. That's a real plus for
me. Is not quite the cardboard cutout, like, bro that usually sees a little awkward and a little nerdy. But I do think that might be tough if you're going to be carrying a TV show when he's, like, maybe not as high energy as the lead usually is.
But that could be fine in a Paradise setting when you have other people to play off of.
Well, I think the next Bachelor, their problem is they're coming off of an Ari season, and they know they need to get this one right.
Hometowns next week. It looks like everyone just wants Becca to dump their child as quickly as possible.
None of the parents seem on board from this edited promo.
They always make the hometowns look like such a shit show, and then it's always totally chill.
Yeah, and then it's usually just the parents being like, don't hurt my baby.
Yep.
She seems great. We would love to have her in the family.
I would rather you dump him now, unless you want to marry him, in which case I am so on board. And... I'd like to end by saying we didn't talk about Action, the Conch Hunter, but we do finish the episode with him giving Becca and Colton a really embarrassing dance lesson. Colton is a little stiff. Should have taken more ballet lessons when he was pursuing his football career. He focused too much on football, Colton, and not enough on ballet Colton.
Yeah.
And in the
agility
end,
agility Colton.
You need agility Colton and ballet Colton to be your best football Colton. Something
and
something
your best body roll Colton.
Best body roll Colton.
Thank you so much, Tierney, for joining us and talking through. You know, I think we made the most of a so-so episode.
Yep.
Here's hoping next week is a little more exciting.
We do have Tia. Tia makes her comeback.
We didn't even talk about that teaser.
Yes. That was the best part of that teaser.
Tia's coming back next week. I have a lot of feelings about it, but I guess we should probably wait to weigh in.
Resisted hearing about any of the drama, really, so I can't wait to find out what goes down. It's going to be fun.
It will. Yeah, it will be dramatic. The most dramatic ever.
Hometown ever.
Oh, my God.
The end.
What if she's, like, waiting at Colton's house? They show up and Tia's, like, at the table.
I was like, I wouldn't be surprised. Seems like a thing they would do. Well, lots to look forward to.
All right, it's time for Feminism Fails. And let's not quibble around with the little fails this week. We have two pretty big ones. First of all, the basically half episode long obsession with Colton's virginity. Let's just stop assigning value to whether people have had sex or not. It's no one's business, and it doesn't change people's value as a person. Gonna give that a 5 because we're feeling spicy.
And of course, Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court. Maybe read up on his history with voting and abortion rights. We're gonna give that one a 5, a 10, a 100, a 1000, a goodbye to gender equality forever. It's just a giant humanity fail and scary as fuck. So get involved, speak up if you agree. Don't sit idly by, even while watching The Bachelorette.
Even if it's too late.
Even if it's too late. But yeah, you know.
And on that note, talk to you next week.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson, and of course, our guest, Tierney Bricker.
Also, if you have a free moment in the midst of lobbying the Senate to prevent the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh, find Here to Make Friends on Apple Podcasts to subscribe and give us a rating. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, so please like us. You can find Emma and myself on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose, or you can always send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week if the world has not ended.